I don't know what we would do in carrying on the Lord's work without copiers. How did we ever get along without them? Well, you're finding out this morning because it broke down. So we don't have the handouts in your hands at this moment of the results of yesterday's groups. But they, as soon as it's ready, we'll have them over here for you. And I also want to thank Donald McGilchrist, for whom it was a short night to put all that together and get it into some semblance of form that we could read as from the feedback from yesterday's discussion groups. Now this morning, for a little bit, I do have a copy of the notes that went over to the copier. I'm going to stop and make some comments here about them. See, did we pray? See, Skip prayed. What did you ask for? I forgot. Thank you. I appreciate it because I need that very much. When you do get your reports or the feedback, there'll be a sort of an outline with details under it like you've seen before. But preceding it will be some comments on the process in the discussion groups from yesterday. And so I have these here and I want to make some comments on them. The new mix of groups yesterday slowed us down a bit. We weren't used to each other. And on top of that was undoubtedly the wrong material or too much of it for a new bunch. So the feedback I get back. But the one word that comes back to me that characterizes yesterday's groups more than any other was the word frustrating. For most, it was a frustrating experience. And for some at least, a great letdown. That it was overwhelming, hard even for country leaders. Many of us cannot project outside our context. We have no wide experience, hard to think conceptually. Well, all I would say about the amount of material, I didn't know what to do about that. I knew it was a lot of material. I knew it was a lot of questions to ask. And all I could say that was poor judgment on my part. And I apologize for expecting so much or asking so much under those circumstances. I'm sorry for that. But I do want to thank you for what you did do. And there's a good deal there that, as you will see, that's very, very helpful. Though some got one third of the way, one half, others got a little bit farther. Another suggestion, and that's the main comment. Frustrating. Sorry to frustrate you. Then the suggestion is made to pick out a few crucial issues, broad concepts, and to discuss them. Well, I understand that now. I know better than I did before yesterday. As I said to you, I haven't tried this before, but one of the things I was rather keen on was to be sure that you felt and that we did in fact not only talk in generalities but also to ensure implementation. That I know some have said, you know, I didn't really think when I came to this conference I was really going to get a chance to be heard. Or somebody else said it was really something that was going to be done about it. Well, the procedure yesterday was an attempt to ensure that something would be done about it. But I can understand this matter of staying more in broad concepts with a group this large, and we'll do that. Also, it says we need to hear Lauren more and to interact with him. Well, I don't know about that, but the ILT suggested to me last night that we do a little more of that, so this morning our session will be together. And then I'll be speaking to you the next hour, so we won't have discussion groups this morning. In fact, I'll be speaking to you and interacting today and tomorrow morning, and then probably discussion groups and divisional ways on Friday. I'll touch on that in a minute. Some of us are hesitant to recommend action steps lest they be enforced around the world. So I say, well, we not only can't do the job you ask, we don't want to do the job you ask. Or as it was put here, trying to focus on universal activities and then turn around and impose them from the top. We didn't want to come up with answers that might be forced on us. Now I'm sure I must misunderstand that feedback. That can't be right. Because if think now, wait a minute. We ask for solutions that we might agree on together, turn around and agree on them, they're going to get imposed from the top. I think, now what makes us so nervous? Yeah, that one puzzles me. I must misunderstand. Another one here, we may well have reached the limit as regards international planning in such a large group. It is preferable that we continue with dialogue by countries or by ministry targets or by divisions. Right, we'll do that. Let's narrow down the imperatives. We must retain the philosophy and the sense of direction, but allow for freedom. We must to pray more and to focus more upon the Word this week. That was another one. And I think that's a good idea too, don't you? So why don't we start right now? I still think the two and the nicest or the most useful publications that ever came out of the Navigators was The Beginning with Christ and 7 Minutes with God. I think I told some of you, and probably many times, that when I was with the Billy Graham team and training the counselors, I gave myself to this thought, that if you can only get them to do two things, and those two things would make them the most effective counselors in the least amount of time, what would you get them to do? And I concluded I'd do two things. I get them to have a quiet time and to memorize Scripture. So that's why I say I think the 7 Minutes with God and The Beginning with Christ are two of the finest things that have ever come out, really, in getting people started. So I thought this morning, I got 7 Minutes with God. We'll stop and maybe have 17 minutes with God, and we'll follow the outline here. Okay? We now have a prayer meeting underway. Let's stop and have a word of prayer. Shall we now guide us along as we pray together? Okay. The copier has revived, and we'll give you the handouts right now. Again, I want to say how much we appreciate Donald's work after the divisional directors and us, we met last night after the meeting, and Donald went home and took the notes and get them in the kind of form they're in this morning. We're grateful, and for the others who got up and typed them this morning. And whoever fixed the copier, we're grateful for them too. And again, your hands up, all right. Now, who does not? Anyone who does not? Okay, when you have it in your notebook, stand up and we'll stretch for a few minutes. As I have read through this morning, before coming over here, there are some excellent suggestions through here. It seems that, from what I understand, that there are probably as many questions as any on this equipper, an equipper maker subject. And I thought maybe if that's true, we would take that one first, and then we can talk about any others you might like to say something about or ask about or interact on. The That would be, well, let's see, that would be A3. In other words, that would be on the third page, although it says at the top page too. In other words, you have some comments on the process, which we discussed earlier. Then you have a page that's strategic imperatives, action steps. Then page two. Down at the bottom of the page, Donald tells me that the subject of equippers and equipper makers just sort of flowed out of the discussion on that one relative to the staff, leaders of staff. So they're both sort of mixed up together here. And you see some of the comments under this concerning study the basics for leadership selection and agree with them. Develop the FOL in terms of equippers and quickly. Select the task force to study equipper makers. Study roles of individuals. I'm not quite sure what that parentheses mean. Question Superman. And the team. Could you tell us that we'd like to find out about him. Donald, what does that mean right there?
There was a feeling, Lorne, in a couple of groups that it is an American phenomenon to have a super church, a super pastor, a super individual, and that not many of these men exist, at least outside the United States. And therefore, a quickie might have to be done.
Yes, Doug.
Be sure you use Donald and Skit Night next
yes.
time.
Yes. Well, there are a few of them outside the U.S. because we got one of them from Great Britain. His name is Donald McGilchrist. What did you say, Jerry? You had a comment, Jerry White.
Well, that's what I asked. I said, I think we ought to check Donald McGilchrist's T-shirt to make sure it doesn't have a big S on it.
Yeah, that's right. One of the fundamental ideas in trying to draw what I did yesterday was to get away from the excessive stresses that we may have upon us. When I talked about equippers, from among them the leaders of staff, from among them missionaries, then I suggested that maybe some should give their time to helping prepare people to become contact staff, equipper makers. The thought being that very thing, that maybe some of us are trying to do too many things at one time, and that there are gifts and experiences within our own organization, our own society, our own group, and that if we could agree that so-and-so could maybe concentrate on that, then I won't need to do that, and we can do this. It's a inventory, so to speak, of our own group. And I think that is one of our difficulties, that we sort of think instinctively, well, if we're going to do this and add this to the navigators, then I also have to do that. And the thought is, well, maybe we can divide up the workload a little bit. So it's to try to get away from that a bit, is whether that particular procedure is used or not. It seems to me that we're talking about career planning, gifts, etc., within the staff, that's what we're talking about. So, Dean, you looked like you had a comment or a question there.
Time for questions.
Oh, any time, that's right.
I just wondered, yesterday when you presented that, it seemed to me we're talking there about specializing according to objective. For instance, we're specializing this person who makes equippers. Another way to specialize is according to gift, what a person is good at, because developing an equipper, there are lots of aspects to that. And I can imagine that some of us are better at certain aspects than others.
Mm-hmm. Well, what you said was what the intent is, to have to do with our gifts, that we try to identify who those among us are that might be gifted in that area and experienced, and then the rest of us maybe could focus on, say, the laborers rather than on repairing the equippers. But unless I missed your point there,
well, that's
Dean.
What I mean. There we're talking about specializing according to the objective, focusing on the laborer or the equipper. But I feel like a lot of us might feel that, that we or the others would be good at developing the equippers in certain areas,
oh, yeah,
not in others.
Right.
And we wouldn't want to be relegated only to developing laborers. We have it on our hearts to also develop equippers, but we may not be good at every aspect of that.
Yes.
I wonder if anybody.
Well, I agree, and it seemed to me that's something we need to discover. For instance, one of the comments here also is, I guess it's the next page. On page 3, Donald tried to group these suggestions under some kinds of grouping here, easier to handle, but it says, organize, use equipper makers as resources, not substitutes for the line. The concept, and I to me, and it's a beginning one, and I know there are ifs, ands, and buts of all kinds, but there could be a time. First of all, if we had such a thing, an equipper maker is a conceptual term, not a good title for it. And why get a good title for it if we're not going to do it? So let's just stay with the concept for a moment, and then if we decide we like it, then we'll get a better word. That we could identify some people and prepare them for a contact staff. First of all, these, quote, equipper makers wouldn't go off and be some isolated part of the world. They'd still be, quote, under the line where they are now in some part of the world, not some set off entity. Also, it just seemed to me that they could take people for a while, build into them certain things, then they go from there, as our procedure is now, into a contact staff. Then they are under, quote, so the line, use that term. And all their preparation, all their leadership training, everything hasn't stopped, and there isn't a completed project after this, but there are other things that are constantly done. In fact, we're talking about staff development all the way up to old age. Philosophy for old age, somebody had in, and we dropped that out because nobody's going to get old around here. So this is one segment of it. It's not intended to be the whole thing. I had some notes here. Oh, some groups wondered why I departed from my previous procedure in the presentation when I was talking about imperatives, and this was the first one on which I put an action step. And the point was, as you probably recall, the point was that I felt that we need to increase the quality and the quantity of those equippers, navigators, if we're going to do more significant or have more of a significant impact by way of a movement in the 80s than in the 70s, and if we're going to meet the needs that we already have that we're not meeting, and if they were not satisfied with that projection of business as usual, then number one is to pray, and then number two is to go look and see what the Lord has us to do about it. Now, and the reason I brought up the equipper maker, that I felt it was necessary in order to explain more fully what I meant. And also, I felt it might help meet some objections, that I previously heard, and therefore help us to more objectively consider the possibility that we could increase these people here without making every representative feel like his number one job is to raise up more representatives. So I felt that the idea of even focusing on increasing the number of navigators would in some sectors just immediately be rejected on the basis that that says every rep ought to be making reps, and I'm trying to suggest that they don't have to. And that we can stay doing our main job, whatever wherever you are, whatever level, whatever stage your work is in the country, and we could still do some acceleration of our number of equipper/navigators. That was the thought. That it's possible, perhaps. And furthermore, there is a sense in which, if the concept was valid, and this staff is already up to here in what we're doing, and we don't have those supermen, there is a possibility that there's some other thing that we might come up with that might help us to do the job without putting an even greater burden on already heavily burdened people. So there may be another approach. But this is one. So that was the reason for that. Now, the substitute for the line, that is, that and putting the training in the hands of the staff, we all know what I mean by line and staff. No, but it would complement, I think. A person, as I said, could be turned over to a trainer for a while, and then back to the line as a contact staff. Nor would the trainer be set apart from the line. The problem about forcing this on another culture, and there's that word again, forcing. No. Again, the intent is actually to learn from various cultures. The suggestion that I made about these people getting together who will be from various parts of the world, and somebody suggested that they do, if we do this, we have some line people meet with them, is that we might put together some things that are of basic common interest, and there must be some. And besides, some of the feedback I've gotten is that some of the receiving cultures would like to have some influence relative to the training of the sending countries. Well, I thought here's a mechanism to do it. You could have an input with your thoughts and concepts at the very outset of the training of some of the people. So it would be, that was the idea there. As I say, it was a handle, trying to reach out for something so that we could involve more people in it. Yes.
It could be, it has not been in my group, but when I listened to that and your disappointment about forcing that word, it could be that there is a misunderstanding. I don't sense at all that people are all afraid that things will be forced, but there was the understanding that we want to come to some conclusions and commit ourselves to it. But listening to one another from different parts of the world, you have to listen to people who say, we have to pray more. To other people that say, we have to be more in the Word. We have to agree that some people say, we need to put more people on staff. So then we end up with a more list. More of this, more of that. I have not heard, let's do less that, less that. So then there comes a consensus feeling. If we present that to you, and you feel this is what the people want, then we are in trouble.
Because we have too much.
We have too much. Mm-hmm. Because there are some parts of the world that need this. There are some parts of the world that need that. There has been, at least as far as I know, be a good atmosphere in the groups. That there was no fighting. No, that's just you. But with this great atmosphere, you end up with a more list. Mm-hmm. Now, and then there is the concern that you and the DDs want to help us implement what we have said and do it, but end up with too much.
And I think that you should read this way, that it is forced from the top, not that there is the feeling that the top is too heavy and too much trying to do it, but that we end up not representing ourselves to you in the right way.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I also thought, we don't have time, but would I thought too, it'd be nice to have a let's not do list, wouldn't it? That's right. Because there's always a tendency to keep adding without, and we can't, if we're already loaded, which we are, without subtracting something. Thank you very much for that comment, Carrot, and I appreciate it. Let's see here. Let's just look. Take a look down there. We only have a few moments left. On these action steps, starting on the first page, on prayer, we got a lot of good ones. I think that was because it was the first one, and but there's none that we could emphasize more than that one. That's certainly true. Allocate some priority time at our conferences to inform. It says issue worldwide requests. Some said here a day a month as an NAV day of prayer. I was wondering about at least twice a year, maybe one in spring and one in the fall, that we would have a worldwide day of prayer in which we could disseminate prayer information like we've done before. Prayer days and prayer conferences. I know I'd like to sit at the feet of like Warren Myers, for instance, for a day or a weekend in a prayer conference and a praying conference. I don't think I've ever been myself in a conference that's been a prayer. I'd like to be. And I think that would be it's a very needy experience for me. Do you have any comments further on the subject of prayer or questions you might like to ask? Yes. Which one was this now?
You know, about issue worldwide requests, promises twice per year, and quite in advance.
Yes, months in advance, yes, thank you. Yes, right, okay. Any other comment on those? Page 2. On the staff's personal growth in the Word, holiness, dependence on the Holy Spirit. I like that. Insist on study leaves for NAV staff. I think Warren, and here again, and Ruth Myers, and some others of you have set some examples in this. We need that once in a while. I know I do. Very much. And I wish I'd have... Haven't done much of it, but I wish I had started some years ago, even a few days at a time.
Lauren?
Yes.
Could you just expand a little bit on what you mean by holiness? What's meant here in this idea?
I don't know what is meant by holiness in this idea here. This is sort of came back from the groups, and somebody else will have to tell me what they mean by that. Does anyone like to speak to it? Maybe some group leader as to what your group was thinking of when you used the word holiness? Yes.
I don't know that I want to try and define it, but I think that in our group there was a general consensus that we had this tremendous emphasis upon our ministry, and it was kind of all outward, and the only thing that we also wanted to do was to take and focus inward in the life, you know, of the leader, and in terms of prayer and the Word of God, and just the continued development of his character, which hopefully would help him to be the kind or the man of God that he needed to be if he was going to be a leader. And so it wasn't so much that there was the lack but that if we addressed ourselves in the 80 that we ought to do all of these things and did not have a balancing emphasis there, at the end of 1980 we would look back and we would see the weakness because we had concentrated there. And it seems that through the years this has been our strength. And if we don't continue to focus there, why, there could be a real weakness. And just the whole propensity as you get older, the ability to be able to live in the past because you have so much knowledge and experience, and that the emphasis needed to be that there would also be the growing of the staff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Jim Peterson, thank you. Jim Peterson and then Doug Sparks. Sparks. Maybe you better stand up. I think you all heard you, but why don't you stand up, Jim, so be sure everyone hears.
I was going to say that the word came from Sam Clark. You call on him, let him explain what he said.
Sam Clark, you have been nominated to explain it. Where is Sam?
Right there.
Right here in front of me, yes. Thank you, Sam.
It was from my group, wasn't it? Now, we talked about a quality of life that seemed to be very evident in many of the old-time navigators met knew were attracted to. We tried to come up what was that quality, and I think there was an emphasis on character, an emphasis on being in the early days, much more than on doing. Now when we get in a conference, almost always every conversation is about how do you do this, what are you doing, tell me about your ministry, and not about what did you get from the word this morning. What is the Lord meaning to you these days? And that drives a person up. And there's something about holiness of life that seems to be missing when most of the emphasis on our conferences is on how to do something instead of the roots that go down into God himself. And so we spoke about that in our group, and almost to a person, we came up with this thought of holiness as a quality of life that we ought to exemplify in our ministry and in our home and just persons.
Thank you. Thank you, Sam. Doug?
A definition for holiness that I found helpful is just H-O-L-Y, his own life, yours.
Thank you. All right. Any other comment there on page 2, the A25? On the A32, you have any comments there? That's at the bottom of page 2 or at the top of page 3? I do have one comment while you're looking. It says, locate the IHQ outside USA or in Los Angeles. Now, the first I like very much, but does it have to be Los Angeles? Pardon me, Denny. How about Albuquerque, New Mexico? That's right. I used to say that if I had an area, if I could choose one in the world, I'd take San Francisco. Because everything that's going on in the world, good and bad, happens in the Bay Area. That'd be a challenge. But how about, you think Colorado Springs in the summer and Tucson in the winter? That's correct.
No, what he was saying was that with the San Andreas Fault in California, Los Angeles isn't going to be there very long.
Well.
Lauren?
Yes.
It seems like the F-O-L is mentioned several times as well, we need to get that, or that's kind of the answer to a lot of our questions. And it seems to me that our understanding of the FOL is is covering a lot of areas. Are you prepared at this time just to give somewhat of a scope of that, so we can understand a little bit of where that might go and how, what needs that might mean, et cetera?
Well, Doug Sparks has spent, oh, I guess a year and a half, I believe, Doug, of your time, and along with Rock Bottomley and others, on the project. And maybe, Doug, you could bring us up to date, to the point at least where you turned it over to me, and when you took over the responsibility out in Pan, and anything else you might want to add as to the scope of the project, which we are planning to carry forward. But I think Doug could give us a sort of a capsule of the scope of the project.
We've had a task force working on a project for over a year, representing various parts of the world. We also had a summer task force representing a number of the state directors and their teams, working on various subjects on biblical leadership. And the first stage of this project was to try to really get biblical foundations concerning leadership. What are the principles of biblical leadership, selection of leadership, development of leadership? We have come up with a synthesis, which is just trying to boil down all the papers and studies that we've done to give that. Now the next step is for Lauren to go through that biblical synthesis on the principles, selection, and development of leadership, and then we will begin working applications to the navigators. We have purposely tried to stay away in our initial study on application to the navigators because we wanted to be sure that we got the biblical basis first without preconceived ideas. And then now we're on the process of trying to finalize the biblical foundations and work out the navigator applications.
Thank you. Leroy, could you come here a minute, please?
I don't mind going to Los Angeles. You want to go to Los Angeles?
How about that? We'd like that, where the sun shines and bathe in the rays, wouldn't we?
You bet.
How are you at surfing? Are you pretty good at surfing?
I'm like a swan on the surf.
Are you really? I can believe that, too. That'd be neat. We got to have just a caucus for a moment.
No. He's ready. Okay, I'll go with you.
What I'm looking for is a sponsor now to help us carry forward on the leadership project. I have taken some of the good work that's been done, and I have developed and been developing, just on the, sort of the backstroke, the fundamentals of leadership, an outline that has A, the foundations, B, the pillars, and C, the capstone. And you're not going to get this, but I'm save a little time on the next hour because I intend to talk on a subject the next hour on authority. But the foundations of spiritual leadership, servant, steward, and shepherd, in which is some superb biblically rooted information as to the foundations of spiritual leadership, and a wealth of material that has been brought together. Then on those foundations, I have tried to build what I would think would be to the indispensable qualities for a spiritual leader, and particularly a navigator leader. For instance, I think the first one has to be character. And by character, I mean godly. And when I think of godly or godlike, I think of the two fundamental characteristics of God's character, namely his holiness and his love. Now, from the Bible, we could pick a number of ways to go about this matter of the requisites for a leader. But the best, the closest as I could come to the heart of it, one of the four would be holiness and love. Now, that's what God is like. And in that Exodus passage, as you might remember, when Moses asked the Lord to show him, to reveal himself to him, And the Lord is going to give a short capsule summary about himself. You know, what would he say? And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And what a joy that is to read that about God, as he said about himself. But there enters a problem. There is not a period there. I wish it ended right there in some ways. But he goes on and says, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. And you have to accept that about God as well as the first. And oh, in Romans 11, Paul says, knowing therefore the goodness and severity of God. God is love, but God is also light. And as applied to leadership, I think that title of a book, Tough and Tender, put it the other way around, Tender and Tough. We all want the first half, but not the second half. And I wonder if godliness in character, there isn't some, just a little severity about it. You look at David, and you look at Paul, and some of these people, I sometimes say, were tough as cobs. I mean, there was a tough aspect. And yet there was that very warm outgoing, and we like to have the first half, but not the second half. And I've wondered if fundamental to the character of a leader is godliness, which includes both love and holiness. Now, Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and unholy. There's something a little threatening about that part. And I wonder if there is anything threatening about my life on that part. There maybe should be. Because I think, so that's just one of the thoughts on the pillars of leadership. Then there's knowledge, vision, commitment, power, authority, communication, adaptability. But among those, there's one, and that's authority, the right to act. It's not all of, I don't equate leadership and authority. Leadership is a subheading of authority. And when we get to back at 11 o'clock or after coffee break, that's what we're going to talk about. Yes, Bob?
Stewart, shepherd, and servant. I just keep wondering why we don't have soldier in there. I know that aspect has maybe triggered the study itself, but if that's biblical, I think it should be included.
Yes, really, that's one of the problems. The servant, steward, and shepherd is easy to remember and is a metaphor, but there are other metaphors as well, like soldier, and that you could use too. And that's why, in some ways, we almost have a two condensed right now, but soldier could be another one, that's right. Yes, Warren?
Reference in Exodus.
Exodus 34... 34, 6 and 7. That's, you remember, after the passage that Dr. Sanders spoke on, Exodus 33, then in Exodus 34, and Moses' time with the Lord. Okay, we're ready to have our picture taken, are we, Leroy?
Yes, we are.
Okay, we're ready for the picture. Leroy, give us the instructions as to what we're to do, or put somebody in charge. In thinking of what kind of contribution we could make, we each think of what maybe our gifts or experience might help us to do in a contribution toward our ministry together. And one of the scriptures that I have taken for the remaining years of my association with the Navigators is to help lay the foundation of many generations. And it seemed to me that one of my hopes has been that the FOM might be in some clear form, and that'll always be dynamic, I feel, and should be updated and have to be restudied from scratch somewhere down the line. If for no other reason than the fact that words change their meaning. New applications mean new approaches to it. Not that the roots are different, but that'll have to be restudied at some time, but hopefully it'll last for a little. Another is to sort of help set the general direction as we think of the 80s. And then the third would have to do with something on the area of leadership. Now, we are here together as a staff, and you have staff meetings. And someone made a suggestion to me I thought I'd pass along to you on the matter of our discussion group yesterday and how it could have been improved. I have a son who's getting his doctorate in communications up at Boulder, and he teaches here at University of Colorado, Colorado Springs. And so I asked him to pass along to me what he's learning. He said, one thing, don't give people more than about 10% new material for a presentation. Brand new. Don't give them too much. Well, I violated. I gave them too much. And then several had a good suggestion. After having been off for 2 days, different people in the discussion groups, and quite a heavy material, it would have been well had I met with the discussion group leaders, gone over what we were going to do, got some feedback from them on the discussion questions, and it might have helped us a good deal. I only mention this, we all are responsible at some time or other for conferences and following things through. And I think that's a good observation, and it's something for us to keep in mind in our own responsibilities. And hopefully, we all continue learning. You should have received this morning, in addition to the feedback from yesterday, a handout again on yellow pages called Authority. And that is where we're going to take up this morning. Is there anyone who does not have or did not receive that particular set?